Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Gospel, Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 39. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may have confidence not in ourselves, but in your Son, and confess him boldly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is how today's gospel reading starts. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Jesus is speaking to his disciples, to the 12 apostles, as he is sending them out to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. As part of this sending, he gives them teaching to equip them for the task. Now today, we're coming in halfway through his instruction, and we're picking up at the point where Jesus is telling his disciples to expect opposition, and to expect it in the form of insult or worse. He says to them, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Now this word Beelzebul comes up in Matthew's gospel in relation to Jesus casting out demons. The Pharisees say of Jesus, it is only by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons, that this fellow casts out demons. So to call someone Beelzebul is to say that they are evil in its lowest form. Jesus is helping his disciples to understand what will happen to them as they proclaim the good news. If he, Jesus, has been called the ruler of demons, if he has been called evil, then his students, his apprentices, the members of his household should not be surprised to receive the same sort of treatment or worse. It's from this point that Jesus goes on to give his disciples encouragement and to open them to see ministry from God's point of view, from God's perspective. Listen to what Jesus says. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. This word fear is going to be a big word in what follows. And we need to tune into this because fear is such a big force in life, especially fear of what other people will think of us, or fear of what other people will say about us, or fear of what other people will do to us. It seems to me that almost all of our behaviour as human beings is shaped by this fear, even if we don't like to admit it to ourselves. It seems to me that Jesus, through his teaching, is getting us in touch with the reality of our fears to grow us in the life of faith. Again, he says, so have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. Do not fear those who say that you are evil, because the truth will come out. This is what Jesus is saying. Think of it this way. Imagine you are in court facing a false charge. And imagine someone in the courtroom is giving false testimony against you. That's a fearful thing. But imagine your lawyer turns to you and says, "Don't worry. We have video evidence of this guy talking with others about how he's going to take you down with lies. This evidence will be brought forward in this courtroom. You will be vindicated." On hearing this, our fears would dissipate. We would welcome the coming judgment. Now Jesus is assuring us that there will be a time of truth, that human beings may cover up, but that God will reveal all. Jesus assures of this to free us from our fears and to give us confidence as we proclaim the gospel. In fact, for disciples of Jesus, there is a call for transparency and more. This is what Jesus says: "What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops." Since everything will be brought into the light by God, we don't need to hide anything. We can hand on the whole of Jesus' teaching for all to hear. In the church, there is no secret teaching of Jesus that's handed on only to initiates. There is the good news for all nations, proclaimed from the housetops, proclaimed even through the internet, even through the television. Anyone can tune in. Anyone can hear. Nothing is hidden. Then Jesus, as he teaches his disciples, goes on to teach more about the reality of our fears and dealing with our fears. He says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. The worst that human opponents can do is kill the body, but God can destroy both body and soul in hell." Now, note again that Jesus is speaking to his dearly loved disciples. He is speaking out of love. He is speaking for our good. Fear is a reality. It's part of human existence. And a spiritually wise and mature person will fear God rather than human beings. So when we face human opposition, even if it's only in our minds as we anticipate what might happen when we confess that Jesus is Lord, we do well to remember that it is God rather than any human being who has true power over us, who can truly determine our destiny. Again, remember, Jesus is teaching this to his dearly loved disciples. He's speaking out of love. He does not want us to be trapped in fear, even fear of God, but to live in the freedom of love. And that's why he goes on to say, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows." When we are consumed by fear about what other people will think of us, or say about us, or do to us, then we do well to remember that it is God who has true power. We do well to fear God rather than human beings. But when we look away from human beings and up to God, then our fears can melt away. God does not want to harm us. He cares even for the sparrows. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We are precious to him. you are precious to him. Look to God and know that you are loved. Jesus then gives us words that, as it happens, are used at the beginning of our church's confirmation rite. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. At the heart of our relationship with God is our confession of Jesus, our willingness to be associated with him, even in the face of human opposition. Our Lord assures us that as we acknowledge him before others, he will acknowledge us before his Father, before our Father. But he also warns us of the consequences of denying him before others. He will deny us before the Father in heaven. Now, if the gospel stopped here, we could think to ourselves, well, there it is. I'll confess Christ before others and be acknowledged before him by the Father. The path of salvation is straight and I am on it. But it is not that straightforward. We are, all of us, more fearful than we think. We are made of flesh and blood, and we naturally crave the approval of other people. We crave the approval of other people more than we want the approval of God. The Gospel of Matthew makes this very clear. Listen to this from Matthew 26. We hear about the night on which Jesus was betrayed and what happened. Peter said to Jesus, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Peter and the disciples had heard Jesus' teaching. In their own minds, they were committed. They would be with Jesus no matter what. They would not deny him. But Jesus knows that we are made of flesh and blood. And he knows what happens when we put our confidence in ourselves. He knew what would happen with Peter. This is what we read later in the same chapter. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse and swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed. We are made of flesh and blood. We naturally give in to fear. The cock would crow for us too. What hope is there for us then? Well, there is one human being who did not crave human approval above the Father's. And that one human being is the man Jesus Christ. The one who gave his life for us even while we were natural enemies of God. Who died for us who naturally seek human approval rather than God's. Our way forward is not to have confidence in ourselves, weak as we are, but to look to Jesus Christ, the one who made the good confession even before Pontius Pilate. Dear Christian people, you have been baptized into Christ. The confession that Jesus made is yours. And he has taken Peter's denial, your denial, on himself. He gives you his Spirit to free you from fear and to open your mouth to confess him. A confession that does not come from human strength or commitment, but from God. May God keep us in Christ Jesus and his love, so that by the Spirit we confess Christ and look to God our Father, knowing that we are loved, and that this love can flow through us, even to those who would oppose us. May God grant us this Spirit-filled confession. May God grant us this life of love. May God grant us this freedom from fear for Christ's sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.